XDR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and this will seem like music to the ears of somebody in Florida.
Again, tonight's winning numbers are 32, 19, 13, 33, 20, and the gold mega ball is 14. Now, no matches all six summers. Friday's jackpot could be more than $1.8 billion.
No, it won't be, because apparently somebody has those numbers in the Mega Millions drawing. Good for more than $1.5 billion over 30 years, nearly identical to the second largest Mega Millions jackpot back in 2016, or a cool $783 million up front, which is how most winners tend to take it. CBS's Kara Cordy is in Columbus, Ohio. There, a Republican effort to make it harder to pass state constitutional amendments has failed. The Associated Press reports it failed by a wide margin, all tied to an impending November vote on abortion rights.
Folks that were supporting the Yes Movement, which was the movement to make it harder to amend Ohio State's constitution, Republican supporters, anti-abortion rights supporters, that movement was looking for big day of voter turnout. That did not seem to happen for the yes vote.
Was it a hate crime or a widely seen brawl along the Montgomery, Alabama docks? Several white men attacking the black captain of a boat trying to dock.
Montgomery's first black mayor, Stephen Reed, says his city shouldn't be marred by this latest incident.
This is not indicative of who we are. So I think it's important for us to address this as an isolated incident, one that was avoidable.
CBS's Omar Villafranca reporting. In Los Angeles, a major public employee demonstration, a one-day strike.
Widespread walkouts from nurses to baristas. Nearly 340,000 union strikers this year, more than 10 times the number just 2 years ago. One unusual demand here, fill existing job openings to ease workloads.
Now, this is a one-day strike. If you had to strike for real, would you do it?
If I had to, yes. I'll sacrifice. Just like I'm sacrificed today.
And that report from correspondent Mark Strassman. On the Health Watch, the Red Cross adopts new rules, finalized by the FDA, which will allow more LGBTQ people to donate blood. Sarah Warbelow is vice president of the Human Rights Campaign.
This is a critical step forward to ensuring both our blood supply remains absolutely safe and that we eliminate decisions that were made based on stigmatizing views.
More health news. Apparently, eating nuts might offer some surprising mental health benefits. That, according to a new study that included more than 13,000 people in the UK. Dow futures are up 20 points. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
On our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels, wherever you are, whenever you want. The
Solutions here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network.
perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 61 overnight under clear skies. Westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs around 84. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows around 61. Partly cloudy. Low 80s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are talking about the first candidate to announce for Senate, U.S. Senate, to run against Tammy Baldwin. And likely, you very, very likely, you have not heard of her before because she is the epitome of an outsider. Her name is Rajani Ravindran. And there was an article that came out this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying that she plans to announce tonight in Portage County. And the discussion is, how cynical have we become that I think probably most people's reactions is, ooh.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. And so when it's, you know, a high profile race like this, on the one hand, we want to say anyone can run. But we have not set it up so that anyone can run. But would love to hear from you on thoughts on such an outsider running. And, you know, is it optimistic to think that this would be a good thing to have someone to get behind someone who is so outside of the system that we've created? 844-967-2789. But some more information about Ravindran, if you would like to know a little bit more about her. She's the mother of three and has not been involved in politics until recently. She joined the Stevens Point College Republicans this year and plans to graduate with a bachelor's degree in political science next year. Immigrated to the U.S. from India in 2011, where when she was in India, she was a nurse and a midwife. She lived in California before moving to Wisconsin in 2017. She became a U.S. citizen in 2015, so that means she'll have been a citizen for 9 years in 2024, which is the minimum number you need to be a senator. She supported Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020 and says that she is supporting him again in 2024. So those are some of the details that came out about her as a person in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Her campaign, if you're interested, will focus on securing the border and cracking down on illicit drugs like fentanyl, stopping illegal immigration, which I you know, there's probably stuff to get in there as far as her being an immigrant and the process she went through and how hard she knows how hard it is to
go through that process.
Yes. And so that's interesting to me. And advocating for medical freedom, suggesting she is opposed to vaccine mandates. And the one thing that came out in the article is like, oh, that sounds like a politician. Like, you're going to be fine. And she was asked whether she believed President Joe Biden won the 2020 election.
And?
Quote, you know something? That is a great question. I'm still learning about that. I am still learning about that particular thing.
Because nobody's been talking about it.
No one's been talking about it the last couple of years. The last 3 years at all.
Let me get, I'll get back to you on that one.
She sounds like Ronna McDaniel. And like, who was interviewing Ronna McDaniel when she basically would not admit that Joe Biden was, she admitted that Joe Biden was president, but she would not admit that it was a fair and free election. And I was like, oh, you've been taking notes. But yes, she claimed that there were clearly some issues with the election and added, how can I say yes or no when I have no clarification about that problem?
Well, there were a whole bunch of court cases, like 63 of them, and 62 of them got thrown out.
Yep. Half the population says it will be this way. Half the population says it will be that way.
No.
Before I make a comment about that, I need to be certain about what I'm thinking. So at least that part she's...
She's a natural. She's a natural there.
And so I do appreciate the attitude, though, because she said, I do think that some of the people are going to jump in the race at any time, but that is not my concern. Rather than sitting on the couch watching TV and complaining about it, I want to do something. That is the reason I am running. And I can get behind that.
Well,
and
sure.
I am hoping that in general, I think about all of the different people that we interviewed who are first-time candidates for assembly or state senate last fall, so 2022, and the recruitment of getting people to run and getting, I mean, like that kind of brazen attitude, especially from women, of like, why not me? That is what I do applaud about, regardless of what a hill this is going to be climbed, regardless if she ends up getting backing from, you know,
the powers that be
are like, well, at least we got someone. But so no matter what happens, I think the attitude of why not me is something that should be applauded. And I hope that more people adopt, you know, maybe not for Senate necessarily, but there's going to be a lot of positions to run for.
Sure.
I mean, we have, I don't even know what's all up for. I know the mayoral race and the county executive race. So, like, we have a bunch of nonpartisan races that will be up again in 2024 for the spring. And then, obviously, depending on how this redistricting case goes, we're going to have a lot of seats up, more than normal, for the fall of 2024. And speaking of that, Nicole Safar, who is the executive director of Law Forward, which is the liberal-leaning legal firm that is filing and is taking charge of the redistricting case that got filed last Tuesday. She's going to be here at 11 o'clock. And so we're going to get more details about the strategy behind the case, what the case is, what the lawsuit is arguing, the different scenarios of how this could end up depending on the ruling. So that's coming up at 11. At 11:30, we got, so I'm doing a fundraiser on Sunday. I guess we haven't talked about this enough.
We haven't.
But our friend Megan Johnson, who is the executive director and founder of Milwaukee Diaper Mission, is going to be here because Mike and I are throwing a fundraiser. We're going to try to get some diapers for Milwaukee mamas. So we'll do that at 11:30. And coming up next, it's Tuesday. It's 10:30. It's time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. So we'll be back in just a minute with Mr. Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Keep it. Western Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A huge Mega Millions drawing Tuesday night has produced a winner. We don't know who, but we do know where. Florida. The Associated Press reports Ohio voters have strongly rejected a Republican move to make it harder to pass state constitutional amendments. That ahead of a vote this fall on one to assure some abortion protections. The turnout was heavy.
In the end, voters were not fooled by this unprecedented, dishonest attempt to silence our voice. And we said emphatically no.
In Los Angeles, a short but major work stoppage by many city employees, sanitation, traffic included.
Think of all this as a warning shot, a 24-hour reminder of what disruption feels like.
Correspondent Mark Strassman. For now, the Supreme Court leaves in place regulations aimed at restricting so-called ghost guns.
Opponents of the new regulations argue in federal court ATF doesn't have the legal authority to change gun laws on its own. The case could drag on for years.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Johnny brought in a coffee maker because
Keurig.
Yeah. You don't even know how to say it. It doesn't know how to operate.
I know how to use it.
So no, I don't know about that. But it was like, he goes, go make some coffee. Yeah, I go back. He didn't really say that. I said, I go make some coffee. I went back there. And I just couldn't get. I don't know. It didn't work. And came here because all over my shirt. Because where the hell were you?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattenair. And that music means it is time to recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer. How are you, friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing
Always
well.
Good to be here.
Doing well. You know, just...
Seven weeks away.
Yeah, we're 7 weeks away. And so I said to Jane this morning, I was like, I think I've entered the uncomfortable stage of pregnancy as far as just being tired all of the time. And so
I'm sure it's been super comfortable up until this point too. So
and you actually, you know what? And we're going to talk about it later today with Megan Johnson. I think part of the reason we're doing this fundraiser to do diapers is because I felt really lucky in that, like, it has been a fairly smooth pregnancy. But now
well,
it has been good. But now I'm like, oh, this is starting to get uncomfortable. But we're managing.
Starting to get real.
So speaking of children and childcare, how's that for a segue?
Nice. That was smooth.
Breaking
Radio
news.
Professional over here. Yeah.
Breaking news this morning. Oplander, a.k.a. Governor Evers, has called his first special session of his second term to address the state's chronic workforce challenges. And so this happened literally, I think, as I was driving to work this morning. I know you've already tweeted about this a little bit. So what you've probably read more of the press release than I did as far as what this entails. So what do you understand this special session to involve?
Yeah, so kind of the main headline of it is that it is calling the special session to, quote, address state's chronic workforce challenges. So that includes more than $1 billion investment out of the state's remaining $4 billion surplus. And kind of the top item of that is that more than $365 million would go towards child care programs. And then if you go down through the rest of the press release, the rest of the investment proposed here by the governor, it, you know, kind of calls back to a number of the proposals that he had in the budget that Republicans voted out. So we have creating a paid family leave and medical program, a number of items in higher education funding, including $66 million for the UW system, $197 million for the new engineering building at UW-Madison, $40 million for the technical college system, and then extending some workforce innovation grant programs, $60 million for healthcare workforce shortages, $16 million for teacher shortages. So it's a really, you know, across the board workforce item here in a lot of different issues, child care, health care, and education kind of being the top pieces there. And then I think, yeah, the biggest chunk of that funding and the top item that was highlighted in Governor Evers' press conference on this was on child care. So most of this would go towards the child care counts funding that Republicans voted out of the state budget at 2:30 in the morning during the Joint Finance Committee budget cycle.
And we should note that, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but even since that happened, there has been multiple child care centers that have closed. And yeah. And so this is good. I mean, I think that it comes back. We all know that basically every single special session that he being Governor Evers called for in his first term, am I overstating saying that in every single one, they just gaveled in and gaveled out? Did any of them actually have a discussion?
There was a couple where they gaveled in and then took no action. So this was kind of like during the pandemic when people weren't like physically present in the Capitol, where they would gavel in and then just do nothing. So basically none of the special sessions, I think one special session on unemployment insurance, and this was like after their 300-day break in 2020 that they actually did something. So I think I think 13 special sessions resulted in signed legislation, but by and large, it has been gavel in, gavel out. Is that what's going to happen when this special session happens on September 20th? I mean, would we really expect Robin Voss and the Wisconsin state legislature to do anything differently? I don't know.
That's why we got to start calling now.
Yeah, I'm calling now.
Call now and call them every single day.
Because, and this is a genuine question. Has there been any Republican plan beyond the argument that by cutting taxes to quote unquote job creators, that will create more jobs? I guess the cutting unemployment, cutting Medicaid, what other policy solutions has been presented by Republicans to address workforce issues? Lowering the age so that 14-year-olds can deliver drinks, But I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm actually asking, like, what, because a lot of this stuff, obviously, I think I agree with as far as these are different things that could address our workforce issues. And I'm trying to understand what they have presented as like, well, this is what we think would actually improve our workforce issues. Do you know?
Yeah, I think that there's been some things here and there on just kind of deregulating the process of, you know, different licensing issues or things like that, which I think is kind of actually kind of interesting. But by and large, they have not had any kind of comprehensive strategy. And I think the childcare issue is such a big one for workforce challenges because it, you know, so significantly impacts women, and women are at a lower rate in the labor force participation rate in the state. And I think that would change significantly if you, you know, had more options for people to have childcare. But I think this is a really interesting way to present it, where it's not just childcare, it is folding it into a larger effort to address workforce challenges at a time when we have, you know, a record low unemployment rate and employers are struggling to find people.
But we all, not only do we have a record low unemployment rate, at least when we covered this a month or so ago, we also have the first or second highest labor participation rate of working age people in Wisconsin. So it's like people are working, and I think we're still like, there's a cognitive dissonance there that people think that people aren't working. It's like, no, we just need more people. And we also need to empower and enable people who want to be working to do so by providing better support systems. Like I actually, this morning I saw this, you know, Wallet Hub always comes out with their best states, and they're like, they rank all the states for like different things on different measures. And literally this morning I saw one on best state to get to have a baby. Where do you think Wisconsin was?
I would guess not high.
I'll go 46.
No, we're not that low.
I would guess somewhere in the middle. Let's say 30.
We were 23. Okay. So I feel like a lot of those things, whenever I look at them, we're always like somewhere in the 20s. Like we're always in the middle somewhere. But the different rankings were cost, healthcare, baby friendliness, and family friendliness. And I think those are interesting measures, especially as I, you know, thinking about like baby friendliness and family friendliness and like how much are like the policies making it conducive for people to want to have children and not making it harder for you to have children. And right now it feels like we are in a state where it, as I say this as a pregnant person, it doesn't necessarily feel like we're making it easier, and you have to already be in a financially stable situation to be like, this is not daunting, the idea of having a kid right now.
Well, and what I don't understand, isn't it just common sense? Why would a young family want to move somewhere where they can't find childcare? We want people to move here, and yet we're not doing anything to encourage young families to do that.
And this is a time when our neighbors are doing something. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the economies in Wisconsin and Minnesota or Michigan, and they're making investments in childcare in ways that our state is not. And I think, you know, I think it's really important that Evers is doing this, but it also is this same kind of argument that we seem to keep having over and over again in so many different ways, where it's just like, we have to do this or else we're falling off the cliff. We're not doing something to like position ourselves to thrive. We're not doing something to kind of flip the switch in the other direction. We're doing this to, you know, this special session, this funding for childcare will prevent closures, but is not going to create a more robust safety net type of system or support type of system for Wisconsin. And I think, you know, the paid family and medical leave goes toward that. That is a super popular policy. And I think it's going to be really interesting once this does hit the floor of the legislature, if they are going to have to, you know, protect all seats in both the Senate and Assembly, if the redistricting lawsuit goes forward, this vote will be on the record and people will be paying attention to it, you know, going forward. So I think that is a really crucial piece of this as well.
And that's why they're going to gavel in and gavel out.
That's your prediction?
Yes. So they don't have to be on the record for anything.
Yeah, the over-under for the full time of the session is about 55 seconds, right? Are you betting the over or the under?
I know. That was my the joke and video I made last fall when they had their special session. When was their special session on abortion? And I literally...
Well, there were two of them. There was one in the summer and one in the fall, yeah.
I think it was the one in the fall where... And I literally went and rode a mechanical bull to see if I could stay on long enough.
I remember that.
If I could stay on long enough. And they beat me just barely, both the Senate and the Assembly, just by like a couple seconds, as far as I'm not a strong bull rider, apparently. All right. We're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. And to shift gears a little bit, in 2 weeks? Is it? Am I timing that right? 2 weeks?
15 days.
15 days. We're going to have the first Republican presidential debate right here in Milwaukee. And it feels like it's kind of sneaking up on us. I think as of this morning, I read Vice President or former Vice President Pence has just made the cutoff. And so as of right now, there are 8 confirmed candidates who will be there. Do I have my numbers correct?
That's right. Yep. 8 confirmed candidates.
Several who you've never heard of. Who's this? Doug Bagram? Who is that guy?
Which guy?
He's the North Dakota governor.
Yeah.
I think he's the one who was paying people, right? Basically, it was like, if you give me a dollar donation, I will give you a $20 gift card.
I think there are people in North Dakota who don't know who this man is.
So the list right now is Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Doug Burgum, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Mike Pence will be the 8 candidates to qualify. I think that is, you know, I was reading some analysis from Politico when the news broke about Pence last night. It looks like this is probably going to be the debate field. I think there's a couple other candidates who either haven't met the fundraising thresholds or haven't met the polling thresholds to be there. So I would guess that those will be the eight on stage in Milwaukee.
So it won't be a repeat of 2020 with like the 22 or 23 candidates that we had on stage at some point for the Democrats.
Yeah. And then they had like the two different debates where they had, I think they did this in 2015, where they had like the kind of the undercard debate of the kind of also ran candidates, and then the main stage
to really get to it.
So I think it'll just be the 8 this year, and I think that will make sense. But I just published a column about the primary and what I consider to be the biggest 2024 Republican presidential primary story that no one is talking about. So perhaps we can get into that.
We can definitely get into that after the break. Do you want to tease it a little bit?
Well, I think we have to. This is the first primary that we are having post January 6th.
Yep.
And I think we have not yet adjusted to the reality of a post January 6th paradigm with Donald Trump being back on the ballot in this primary.
That's a good tease.
That is a good tease.
So we will talk more about the primary. The presidential primary, and how weird is it going to get? Because this is unprecedented territory as far as the whole Trump factor. So stay with us. We are talking to Dan Schaefer, founder and editor of the Recombobulation Area, which you should subscribe to if you're not already.
It's such a deal.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West
Dallas. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 61. Overnight, under clear skies, winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 84. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow night. Lows around 61. Partly cloudy. Chance for scattered showers Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms Friday. Highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. I'm on my way.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. And so let's hear more about the story you published this morning on, you know, so often we are talking about Wisconsin politics, Milwaukee politics, but this time around, Milwaukee and Wisconsin politics are presidential and national politics, because not only are we going to host the RNC next year, but we are hosting the first Republican primary debate 15 days from now. And yeah, Civic Media will be there, by the way. So this show specifically and some of the other Civic Media shows will be broadcasting live from across the street at the Fiserv the day of the debate. So more details to come on that. Dan, maybe we'll have to have you come on the show so we can talk more about it. But let's hear more about your article and the argument that you're making.
Yeah, so I just published this column at the Recombobulation Area. The headline of the column is "The Biggest 2024 Republican Presidential Primary Story That No One Is Talking About." And so I following this campaign, looking ahead to the debate, it's going to be an interesting moment for all of these candidates to get on stage, present their message to a national audience. You know, Trump is way, way ahead in the national polling right now. So it's an opportunity for, you know, candidates like Ron DeSantis, who have really been falling in the polls in the last few weeks, to turn things around. It's an opportunity for many of the other candidates who are polling in the single digits to really meet that national audience for the first time. This is kind of the moment where these campaigns kind of come out of the diners and the county fairs of Iowa and New Hampshire and up onto the debate stage. But I feel like there's this elephant in the room that no one is talking about with this primary campaign. And that is this, is that Donald Trump's not going to concede if he were to lose. Right? We just saw what happened in 2020, where he still hasn't conceded defeat to Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election. So if he's not going to concede to Joe Biden after an actual presidential election, do you see any scenario where he's going to concede to Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Chris Christie or any of these other candidates? He's just going to keep running regardless of whether he wins or not. And if, you know, let's say things turn around for DeSantis. He builds up some momentum. He does well in this Milwaukee debate. He carries that through to Iowa and New Hampshire and starts looking like an ascendant candidate. Do you think Trump's going to say, all right, my time is done, I'm going to pass the baton and graciously ride off into the sunset? No, he's never going to concede. So I think it's a big deal that no one is talking about this, and no one has reflected this post-January 6th paradigm of the fact that we have a candidate who will not accept the election results.
But do you think, because I agree with you, one, that he would never concede, but two, he's so far ahead that is that the reason? Is it that people are ignoring that this is a possibility, or is it that they're not talking about it because it doesn't seem, it seems very unlikely as of right now that there's never, ever, as far as I understand, been a candidate who was this far ahead in the polls that didn't end up winning the nomination?
Yeah, he is way ahead right now. And just to give you a scope of how far ahead he is, so I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics polling average. Trump is at 53.7%. He is 38 points ahead of Ron DeSantis, who is the next closest at 15.7%. That's down from about 30 in March, by the way. So DeSantis has been on a pretty precipitous drop in the polls. And no other candidate is above 6%. So he is. So it might not end up mattering anyway. He might just run away with the primary. But as we go, but all eyes will still be on Milwaukee on August 23rd. All eyes will be on those other candidates and what they will bring to the debate stage and what they might be able to kind of start making a dent in that lead. I think a debate like this is much more about the other candidates than it is about Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know yet if Trump's keeping everybody guessing as to whether he's going to be there. But I don't think it really matters, because even if these candidates present a great argument, make a good campaign and win some primaries, Trump's still not going to concede.
And I think it's important.
What do we do about that?
Well, and I think it's important to remember, too, Dan, that if he wins the primary and he would go on to get reelected, he is never going to leave the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Well, and even if. You know, he ran in the general again and lost again. Like, this is just the MO of this man is I did not lose. But it's like, I don't know what the media is going to do differently than they did in 2016 or even 2020. But like, with the conditions that we're in right now, as far as a presidential candidate who has 78 counts, like, he's fighting 78 counts and counting, because I think Fulton County is preparing right now for his indictment. So that's going to be added to the docket. He also, this guy has, like, potentially four different legal cases that to be balancing while he's running for president next year. So it's like, what is the responsibility of the media to treat him like a normal candidate versus not, because he is not a normal candidate? And how do you continue to talk about this? Especially because I saw this morning, data shows drop in scandal interest when it comes to Trump. So over time, the Google trends for Donald Trump and indictment with each one keeps dropping as far as how many people are interested in hearing more about it, despite the fact that I would say last week's was the most damning and the one that feels the most anti-democratic and the one that I would say the most amount of people want accountability for. And to have each, like the trend line go down is not a great sign.
Well, and I think too, you know, 8 years ago when he first started running, you heard all of this like Beltway media bloviating about the norms and Trump's assault on the norms and just like that was all hypothetical. And now it's pretty real, right? He literally didn't accept the results of the election. He literally encouraged a violent riot at the Capitol trying to overturn the election results. These are things that happened. So, and I feel like we have not adjusted to this post January 6th paradigm. This is the first primary since that happened. The same person is on the ballot. The same outcome is likely, because even if Ron DeSantis wins, even if somebody else wins the primary, he's not going to accept those results. Yeah. And until we grapple with that, the debate, the primary, all of it is little more than an exercise in political theater.
That is true. That is certainly true. All right, Dan Schaefer, anything else you want to plug or highlight before we let you go for today?
Man, there's a lot going on. I listened to the top of your show yesterday when you were talking about getting back from Vegas. Very discombobulating times that we have
man.
Here.
Yes, the Supreme Court. I'm surprised you didn't write about that this week.
I might have time for that yet. We'll
see.
All right.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it next week. So certainly it's never boring. So Dan Schaefer, as always, Tuesdays at 10:30 on As Goes Wisconsin. We'd love to recombobulate with you. We'll see you next week. Big time.
Thanks so much.
All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, let's talk about the redistricting lawsuit with Nicole Safar, who is the executive director of Law Forward. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.